This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Michael Cox, UK Director of Wines of Chile, man whose family's been in wine since 1810, the same time as Chile's been independent of Spain. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, it's nice to talk to you. And yeah, indeed, the family have been around for a long time in wine.
You're the director of Wines of Chile, but you've been in the job now since, what, 2003?
Yes, the Chileans asked me to set up Wines of Chile in the UK in the early part of 2003.
They did have an old generic body here beforehand.
And back in the late 90s, there was a Wines of Chile office here in the UK, which did some sterling work and helped to put Chile on the wine map, if you like. But the office closed in 1998. It was only really in 2001 that a group of UK importers of Chilean wine got together and lobbied the Chilean wineries and the Chilean government to reintroduce an office. And I'm pleased to say that they were persuaded and some good funding was organized. Chilean government was prepared to help out, and an international Wines of Chile office was set up in 2002 in Chile, and they decided to put most of the budget towards the UK as a very important market. So this is the only office of Wines of Chile, dedicated office outside of Chile itself.
What's your objective in the UK with this office?
Well, the overall objective is to improve the image of Chile and its wines, and especially to help the sales and distribution of premium wines. This market is dominated by wines that are sold below £5. Chile is producing increasingly better quality, especially those that are selling above £5, and we have to develop that market significantly. And that is the overriding strategy of this office and the Chilean wineries themselves collectively.
Chile's got a fantastic reputation for producing good quality quaffing wines. Are you trying to enhance that, or are you trying to go for a completely different segment?
No, it's an evolution, and I think that is a great benefit to have that association with good quality, with wines that are reliable, that are attractive. And Chile already has in the minds of the consumer and the trade, of course, a very positive image. It's just that we have to move that and ensure that everyone is aware of the changes that have taken place over the years, especially in the very recent past, in the last 5 years, where there's been significant improvements in quality and opportunities to show Chile with diverse wines. And our job is to open people's minds and to help them to rethink Chile, discover the modern Chile, I call it.
What are the changes that they've had in the last 5 years?
Well, Chile is blessed with unique and very beautiful growing conditions, and so it is a great place to grow grapes and to make wine. But over the last few years, there's been a growing understanding of how to make that even better, how to seek better sites for vineyards, move perhaps towards cooler locations, whether it's out towards the coast, the Pacific coast, or up into the foothills of the Andes, or even simply up the slopes of the vineyard that used to be on the valley floor. To seek better locations, to lower the yields, to understand how grape varieties grow in different places, and just generally discover how they can get a sense of place and a sense of Chilean character to their wines. And that's been happening and is continuing, and it's quite an exciting process.
Chile's had, a few years ago there was a bit of a story about Chilean Merlot not really being Chilean Merlot. It was, in actual fact, Carmenere grape.
Yes, the Chileans have a wonderful expression. If something's real, they say it twice. So if you want a really good coffee in Chile, you have to ask for a café. If it's just café, it's instant.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's the same with Merlot. If you ask a Chilean, he'll call it a Merlot if it's 100% Merlot. No, I mean, I joke, but a lot of vine cuttings came to Chile in the mid-19th century, especially from parts of France and Bordeaux in particular. This was because Chilean landowners were seeking ways to demonstrate their wealth and status, and they went to Europe to find things that would impress back home, and a lot of people came back with the idea of producing better quality wine from European rootstocks instead of indigenous ones. And so a lot of cuttings came in the late 19th century from Bordeaux, and as well as Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, came Carmenere rootstocks, because a little-known fact is that there was a lot of Carmenere grown in Bordeaux pre-phylloxera. After phylloxera devastated the European vineyards, Carmenere, which didn't ripen awfully well in the Bordeaux climate, was not replanted. So it virtually died out in Europe. But it was brought to Chile, but confusingly, most wineries confused their Carmenere vines with Merlot vines and planted them alongside Merlot. And so for years and years and years, grapes were grown in vineyards, planted with Merlot and Carmenere, but treated as Merlot. And it was only in the mid-90s that a French ampelographer discovered that actually there was a lot of Carmenere growing in Merlot vineyards. And it's, since then, it's been identified as such and grown and vinified separately.
Okay, and the Carmenere, the way they could tell, was the different leaf structure, wasn't it? The leaf looked quite different.
Yes, I mean, especially, it was. I'm no expert, but I'm told that in autumn, when the leaves turn, there's quite a difference in colour. But also, Carmenere ripens much later than Merlot. And so we had this bizarre situation that if it was mixed up, then either you'd pick when the Merlot was ripe and the Carmenere wasn't, or vice versa. And so since the 90s, it's been much better. But Carmenere itself, which is a great variety, if not unique to Chile, then certainly significant to Chile, is a very pleasing style, provided that the winemaker understands how to grow it well and to ripen it properly, because it is such a late ripener. It has low acid, but it is an appealing style if grown well, and that's happening more and more.
You mentioned about the different types of improvements. What sort of improvements have actually happened? You know, has it been in the winemaking? Has it been in the vineyard? Where is it going?
It's a combination, but I think, as with all wine, good wine starts in the vineyard, and I think I would stress that it is Chile's collective appreciation or growing appreciation of how to develop better vineyard sites in more conducive soils using techniques that are suit those conditions that have really given the winemakers far better material to make better wine. And then on top of that, of course, you have yield and canopy management and all those other aspects of viticulture that help the winemaker. And then in the wineries themselves, there have been better techniques, better use of wood, more restrained use of wood, better use of stainless steel, etc. All those modern winemaking techniques that are across the world, I appreciate. But I think the Chilean winemakers, if you like, are discovering themselves and becoming a little bit more able to... a little bit prouder of what they can do, and also a little bit more aware of the beautiful conditions that they have and the opportunities that presents them.
A lot of people think of Chile as Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and recently Carmenere. Is that the three grape varieties that you guys are focusing in on, or is there anything else coming up?
Well, historically, and even today, Cabernet Sauvignon is the most widely planted grape variety, and so it is still Chile's strong calling card, and I have to say it's what Chile does extremely well in most of the growing regions, especially those that the more traditional ones like the Maipo and the Colchagua valleys. But more and more we're seeing the emergence of grape varieties that are not new to the world but are newer to Chile. And 10 years ago Syrah was planted, only 10 years ago. Whether it's called Syrah or Shiraz on the label is up to the producer. But in terms of style, you know, commentators believe that Chile has a big opportunity with Syrah because of, especially in the cooler regions, and indeed with Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir, which is the winemaker's ultimate goal. Every winemaker I've ever met wants to make the perfect Pinot Noir. Well, ditto in Chile, and there are some regions in Chile where Pinot Noir is looking to be very exciting, especially when the vines get older. But I suppose Chile has always been a producer of Sauvignon Blanc, and I think this is the grape variety which offers Chile significant opportunities in the future, because there's no question that, again, especially in the cooler regions, the Casablanca, San Antonio with its subdivision Lleida Valley, and down south in the Biobío Valley and up north in Elqui. These are regions which are producing Sauvignon Blancs in a much, much more modern and I have to say higher quality and really very exciting.
How would you say Chilean is their new world country, because they're not part of Europe? Do they produce new world style wines or old world style wines?
Well, it's an interesting comment, an interesting point, because in a very general sense, I do feel that Chile can offer a bit of a bridge between old and new world. Again, that's very simplistic, I realise, but if you take some of the more aggressive styles from certain new world countries, especially the hotter areas, and through to the other end of the spectrum, where in the old world, especially France, you might get much more restrained styles, Chile can offer something in between. But it's not really trying to copy any other country. It may have done that historically, but I think Chile is in this wonderful has this wonderful opportunity now to continue to develop a very Chilean style. But yes, in general terms, it is a new world country stylistically, because the temperatures are warm, not hot, and the fruit expression is very dominant. But it is developing complexity. It is developing a subtlety and a minerality in some of its wines, which might attract some old world aficionados that perhaps are a little tired of some of the wines that are coming out of their old favourite regions.
Just on a completely different topic, I did a podcast with Nicholas Ingham about a month ago on fair trade wines, and it was fair trade wines from Chile, and it really surprised me, because as a Kiwi, I always think of Chile as being just a normal country. I don't think of them as a third world country, which is what it says on the label.
Indeed.
In the fair trade
wines. And a source of some controversy in a way, because commercially, fair trade is a wonderful thing, and it's helping to promote a lot of good feeling around the world. And from a purely commercial point of view, it is a selling point. Chile produces, there are two cooperatives in Chile that are accredited to fair trade, and they're making good wine, and they are doing good things in the local communities. But in some respects, it is a bit of a paradox, and I'm pleased that you think of Chile as being relatively more advanced than one would associate with being termed third world. I don't think there's any official definition of third world. But yes, Chile is a culturally advancing, politically stable, economically very strong nation. And it is a country which is streets ahead of its Latin American neighbours in many of the indicators, both commercial and social. So there is a bit of a paradox, but I think there is no doubt that Chile can take advantage of being able to produce fair trade wine by accredited wineries. But the term third world doesn't sit too comfortably in where I'm coming from, because we're trying to present Chile as a much more advanced country than that would indicate.
Okay. One of the things that another person I interviewed a wee while ago talked about was the organic viticulture coming out of Chile. It's very dry, it's quite cool, there's not a lot of rain coming into Chile, but you've got good access to water from the Andes. So there's no problems creating organic viticulture, because you don't need to spray as much because it's nice and dry and you get less mold. Is Chile going down the organic route? Is it going to be, you know, organic therefore from Chile almost?
Well, there's no doubt that Chile has big opportunities to produce organic and biodynamic wines, because, as you say, the conditions in Chile are extremely favourable, arguably one of the most favourable areas in the world to grow grapes, to grow any type of fruit for that matter, in the regions to the north and south of the city of Santiago in central Chile. But whether to be certified organic, which is a relatively expensive and time-consuming process, whether there are commercial advantages at the moment is the jury is still out. Whether the consumer fully understands what exactly organic wine is and what it stands for, and whether they should pay a premium for it. However, I think we're in transition, and there's no doubt that the future will continue to offer opportunities for people producing organic produce, of which wine is an important part. And therefore, this is a great advantage for Chile, that has more wineries could produce organic wines than any other countries more easily because the conditions are so good.
And what about biodynamics, which is basically organics on steroids, apart from the
Yes,
pump?
It's a wonderful subject, and I never tire of listening, especially to Chile's greatest exponent of organic and biodynamic viticulture, a young, very charismatic man called Alvaro Espinosa. And I never tire of listening to him explain the biodynamics, which is quite a complicated process, but in essence it isn't. In essence, it is simply allowing the vineyard to go right back to grassroots and to behave as nature intended, and to everything to happen right from start to finish to be totally and utterly natural. I know that sounds very, very facile, but it is a wonderfully it's a wonderful process to learn about, because it is so obvious, it's so natural. But again, as a principle of producing grapes and therefore wine by biodynamic principles, which, as you say, is an even more advanced version of organic viticulture, makes a lot of sense. Everybody is more and more concerned about the provenance of what they eat and drink, and the purer the better. Chile is a beautifully natural country with wonderful conditions, and therefore easier to make natural products in Chile than elsewhere. And if we can quantify that and qualify that by using official expressions like organic or biodynamic, then that's an advantage.
Just on the climate, Chile spans not just 30 degrees to 50 degrees, which is your normal vineyard growing areas, that's why we called ourselves 30-50, but you do span the entire length of the latitudes of growing grapes, but it's still quite a cool country. What's driving the coolness?
Well, ostensibly, the coolness comes from a cold Pacific Ocean, which is made even colder by a current called the Humboldt Current, which comes up from the Antarctic and keeps the sea cold, colder than elsewhere in the Pacific. And, of course, the Andes Mountains, which are never far. I mean, Chile is only 150 kilometers wide on an average, and where the vineyards are. So you're never far from both Andes and Pacific, and this has a wonderful cooling influence in at nighttime especially, and also during the day. So you don't get these extremes of temperature. You don't get baking hot days, and you get very cold nights, which grapes are like people. You know, we love warm sunshine, but we don't like to be stressed. We don't like too much heat, and we don't like to be hot at night. You know, like in I've been in the Barossa once where at night it was still 35 degrees and you're like a starfish in bed. Grapes are like people. They like to cool down at night. And so Chile is a nice place for a grape to be. But yes, the country is ridiculously long. I mean, if you placed Chile over a map of Europe, you'd go from North Norway to Mid-Sahara. But even the wine country, it spans nearly 1,000 kilometers from north to south. But it is, which in other continents or in other countries would be far too broad a spectrum for viticulture. But because of these cooling influences, that's what helps.
I think we'll wrap it up there, Michael. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.